93.7 The Beat.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat. It's the Judge Show with Judge Pittman. Judge Pittman on WUVS 103.7 The Beat.
As always, Muskegon, it is an honor to have in the studio the one and only, the Honorable Judge Gregory C. Pittman. How you doing today, sir?
Good, PA. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Doing good.
All right.
On this Thursday.
All right.
Afternoon. And it's always good when I know you're going to be here.
Man, thank you. I appreciate that. I really do. Glad you ain't hiding from me, bro.
At least I don't think I owe you the money. I hope not.
I kind of wish you would.
So.
Could use it.
Right, right. We all. With the gas.
Oh, man. Well, you know, we're getting a little bit of a reprieve. Thought it would be up over four consistently, but so far we're staying under four.
I think as soon as the president started to talk about the gas, it started to go down because you know, them companies don't want us to release our gas here. Okay, let's go down on this thing.
I still don't understand the rhyme and reason of how gas prices go up and down is beyond me. So
yeah. Wow, so today was Thursday, very important day at the courthouse for you.
Thursday.
Today is
Father's Day.
Maury Povich Day.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Made a few.
Made a few fathers today.
Made a few today, yeah.
And were they there?
No, no. Actually, see, the ones that when I talk about making them, those are the ones who just don't show up.
Don't show up.
There are those who do show up,
you know,
and go through the process and that kind of thing and their fathers too, you know, but the ones we're referring to when we kind of clowning it a little bit are the ones who don't even show up.
I
made four today.
Wow.
They weren't even there.
So they get a certified letter. How do they get notified?
I'm not certain if it's certified or not. That's outside of my responsibility. I don't know how they get notified.
Mm-hmm. but it's a congratulation letter.
Wouldn't call it congratulations. It's kind of a welcome to the next 18 years or so.
Okay.
You know.
Right. Right. Wow. That's something.
Yeah.
Well, to hear that four people didn't show up today
for
the parental rights. What is it called? What is the term called?
These are paternity actions that have been instituted usually by the mother or by the state.
Okay.
In regards to a mother who might be receiving public assistance.
Now, do the mom show up? Do they have to show up?
They don't have to. Nope.
Okay.
Mother's baby, daddy's maybe.
Maybe. Okay. So all they have to do is say, I believe X is the father.
Yes.
X get notified.
Yes.
And when X don't show up, he's automatically the father.
X doesn't show up, then by default, yep, he's going to be considered the father.
When X probably, chances, might not have been the father and could have got a blood test.
Absolutely. That happens more frequently than you can probably imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wow.
Years later, you're trying to get yourself out of that situation, and
it's not easy. Huh?
No, it really isn't, because the presumption is that no child should be without a legal father.
Mm-hmm.
So
it takes a father. Got to have a father.
Yeah. Well, that's the presumption that if there's someone who is identified, whether by full process or whether by default, you're on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well. Mm-hmm. Well. I want to run something by Walter E. Williams. We come back from the break in a few minutes.
Okay.
Get your opinion on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want to ask you, in the past you told me there were situations where the mother would have multiple candidates for fathers.
Yeah.
I mean that she probably slept with more than one guy in a small period of time.
Yes.
Is that still going on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
In the court? Down, they get called down to court.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, I guess maybe I'm not maybe I'm not understanding. The phenomena of a woman not being certain about who is the biological father of their child is it's going on all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a window of time within which the people have had sexual intercourse, and that woman is responsible for identifying who she believes that father is, and she's not always on point. She wow. thinks it's A and it's D.
And it's D. Wow.
Multiple, you know, there are times where there are multiple attempts to wow. correctly identify.
Not only one.
Yeah.
But two yeah. or three attempts.
Yeah, sure.
Mean
that's happened.
They have slept with probably three different guys over a month period.
Yeah. Or you know, I mean, it could be that they have miscalculated, or and it could be that they just don't know. Yep. That is definitely a occurrence that occurs. Sure.
Wow.
Call me Maury Povich.
No. Wow. That's a shocker.
Well, it's a sad commentary on, and you know, I'm not here to be judgmental by any stretch. But it's a difficult commentary on how little regard and consideration is given to the idea of who people are sleeping with and the consequences of that. You know, of that action. Right. That's just, you know, we clown about it a little bit here on the radio, but that's just not the way that children should be introduced into the world. Hmm. Through confusion and a very benign attitude towards the act of procreation. Right. It's tough, man. That's a tough circumstance to start a life.
Right.
That, you know, we literally could not even figure out who you belong to.
It took, mm-hmm. Took a year
yep.
to narrow down
yep.
who your father was.
Yep. That's not the way you want a life to start. That life should be started, you know, purposefully and, with thought, with forethought, with consideration, with preparation for the idea that, You are literally involving yourself in probably the most important and greatest thing that human beings can do, which is to reproduce another human being.
Right. And let the record reflect, this is not a race issue.
Oh, absolutely not. In spite of, you know, sometimes what the media might look like, you know, this cuts across every culture, every race, you know, there's just the proliferation of out of wedlock, or even more to the point, non-considered procreation, non-considered pregnancies. This wasn't what you intended to do. This mm-hmm. isn't what you wasn't thinking that this is going to be the outcome. This is an accident. Mm-hmm. You know, this was not what you planned to occur.
Hmm. Wow. You know. I tell you what, we got a Facebook question. I asked a question when we come back from
the break. I got a question from Facebook?
Yeah, you know, I post like got the Honorable Judge yeah. Pittman on radio. And so you got somebody who doesn't stay in Muskegon anymore, stays in, they listen online. Donald Porter got a question for me to ask you.
Okay.
He stays in Minneapolis.
Minneapolis.
Minnesota.
Going there this summer. Man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The Q's got something up there?
Q's National Convention is in Minneapolis.
Oh, watch out. Watch out. Yeah. Twin City. Good. Yeah. Well, I would give you his question, and I want to get your opinion on what Walter E. Williams said about the cure for poverty.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's roll with it.
If you got any questions, Muskegon 231-722-8338. It's the Honorable Judge Pittman Radio Show brought to you by Grand Valley State University.
Yes,
right.
sir.
Be right back.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
Best of the Midwest is back in a new location. Get ready for the 2012 Youth Alumni Final Showdown between the Heights Tigers and the Big Reds of Muskegon. Six exciting games of packed entertainment Saturday, April 28th at Reese Puffer High School Stadium. Doors open at 2:30 with the first game starting at 3. 4th and 5th grade boys, 4, 6th grade boys, 5, 8th grade boys, 6, young alumni men, 7, alumni women, and the final showdown. 8 o'clock, we have alumni men, Heights versus Muskegon, and plus a special appearance by the Magic Man of Muskegon. You don't want to miss this. Saturday, April 28th, Reese Puffer High School. Admission, $5. Kids, 3 and under free. Media sponsor, 103.7 The Beat.
This hour of WUVS LP programming is brought to you by Jar Inc. McDonald's, owners of the local McDonald's restaurants in the Muskegon area, featuring the new Chicken McBites in three sizes, snack size, regular size, and shareable size. Also featuring the new Caramel Hot Chocolate and the Shamrock Shake, plus four kids menu at every restaurant and dollar menu for breakfast. Jar Inc. McDonald's offers free Wi-Fi at all their Muskegon locations. Jar Inc. McDonald's is locally owned and operated with over 500 people employed in the greater Muskegon area. For more information, go to www.mcdonalds.com. McDonald's slogan is, I'm loving. Jar Inc. McDonald's believe in giving back to the community, and they are a proud supporter of your community station, 103.7 The Beat.
This hour of WUBS programming is brought to you by ALT Property Management. ALT Property Management has a huge selection of rental property throughout Muskegon. ALT Property Management with houses from one bedroom to huge four bedroom houses available for immediate occupancy. ALT Property Management can be reached at 231-798-6430. ALT Property Management slogan is, we have the perfect place for the potential tenant. They are locally owned and operated. They are proud supporters of your community station, 103.7 The Beat.
Waypoint Academy is a school where every student is encouraged, motivated, and supported, personally as well as academically.
Waypoint Academy's highly qualified teachers provide a rigorous curriculum that prepares our graduates for some form of post-secondary education while also equipping them to compete in a global society.
Our family-like atmosphere provides true concern for each student individually, where the hearts, minds, and souls of our students can flourish.
Waypoint is a tuition-free public school offering classes for grades 6 through 12. Our after-school tutorials are mandatory for all students to receive the extra help they need to be academically successful.
We partner with many community agencies to help prepare them for life after school, such as Family Financial Credit Union for student banking, West Michigan Flight Academy, and the Muskegon Exchange Club.
Free transportation, college readiness programs, and people who care. When one speaks of making the right choice, there is only one choice.
Waypoint Academy.
Waypoint Academy.
Waypoint Academy.
Where failure is not an option.
Where failure is not an option.
Where failure is not an option.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat. It's the Judge Show with Judge Pittman. Judge Pittman on WUVS 103.7 The Beat.
Welcome back to Honorable Judge Pittman Radio Show, brought to you by Grand Valley State University. Honorable Judge Pittman, question for you.
Yes, sir. Let's have it.
Facebook.
On Facebook. Me on Facebook.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I posted that that you're on radio.
Yeah.
And questions start coming up. And people, you can always call in, too, 231-722-8338. Donald Porter said on the question, has there ever been a ruling that you regretted?
Wow. I would answer that by saying that I would not be human if I did not feel like there were rulings that I could have maybe done better, you know, or would have turned out better. In honesty, I would probably say there has to be. I'm not of any recall at this point of something that really stands out in my mind that I say, I know I regret doing that. But I'm human, and I'm certain that if I really took the time, I could recall and say I could have done better. I could have made a better decision there.
Because mm-hmm. your case is all about applying the law, and sometimes is there a thin line there?
Well, you know, that's kind of the family law stuff is clearly there is the law to guide, but there's a lot of gray in family law. You know, there's a lot of gray in criminal law. You know, you've got the elements of the crime and you've got the facts that are applied to those elements, and it should lead you to a conclusion. And even there, of course, there's still room for interpretation. There is a lot of gray in family law, and there's lots of room for interpretation. You have some places where maybe the judgment of the person who's hearing the case is what's going to carry the day versus the just the direct rote application of the law.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Have there ever been like a divorce case where one spouse wanted a divorce and the other spouse did not want a divorce?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happens a lot.
But by law, you have to grant that divorce.
In the state of Michigan, this is a no-fault divorce state, which means that basically if somebody files for divorce, they're going to be granted that divorce.
It don't matter what the reason is.
Nope. You don't have to state a reason. Nope. Mm-hmm. The standard is that the objects of matrimony, legitimate objects of matrimony, companionship, procreation, those types of things has broken down, and that there's no likelihood that those objects can be preserved. Right. Those are the proofs that have to be stated for the record in order to move forward with the dissolution of that marriage.
Mm-hmm. Somebody asked a question on Facebook. Why they don't rule that people need to take marriage counseling instead of no fault divorces?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because one does not necessarily affect the other. The fact that you go through marriage counseling does not then negate the rationale for the existence of no-fault divorce. So I don't even see how one would be connected to the other in such a way that the application of one would change the outcomes of the other. I do see where people believe, and it's a reasonable assumption that if you spend some time working through the issues that you're going to face in a marriage through marriage counseling, that you'll probably avoid some of the pitfalls that lead to divorce if you don't do that. And that makes, you know, that makes sense. But even there, the question becomes how intrusive is government into the lives of people, mm-hmm. you know, to make you have to get counseling before you exercise your legitimate right to be able to marry whom you choose to marry. Those are weighty propositions, man. That's not a small thing.
You're in somebody else's business.
Yeah.
Much.
Yeah. Well, the state, the government is in your business regarding who you see. There is a constitutional right to freedom of association. Mm-hmm. Marriage would be considered part of that rubric that we would consider as association. You have the right to marry who you choose to marry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why you got such a big fight about whether marriage is between a man and a woman or, mm-hmm. you know, whether same sex marriage is or eventually will or will not be considered constitutional. Mm-hmm. That's a big fight because mm-hmm. of the basic right to association.
Mm-hmm. You cannot legally get married in the state of Michigan, same sex. But can, but can you grant a divorce? Somebody moves here from maybe Massachusetts or California where they allow same-sex marriages. They stay in the state of Michigan.
That's a very, very interesting question. Never had that as an issue before me. My initial guess would be that because Michigan doesn't recognize same-sex marriage, that you may have difficulty even being able to bring a divorce action between a same-sex couple.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, this makes sense because you're saying in the eyes here don't exist.
It doesn't even exist. That's an interesting. That is an incredible. That's a good question, man.
Wow.
Excellent question.
Thanks, Judge. Mm-hmm. Well, folks, if you got a question for the judge, 231-722-8338, what questions you don't like to take, Judge? Because you're taking a lot of different types of questions. There might be some that you just like, hey.
Well, you know, there's subject matters of the law that I'm just not very well versed in, you know. I don't have the experience and don't – you know it that well, and we get those from time to time, and I tell you know I do a good job of saying I don't know.
You have to read a lot of law, don't you? You have to continuously read.
You know, one of the things about being a judge is that part of the responsibility of a lawyer in litigating a case is that good lawyers, the best lawyers, do the best job of educating judges from moment to moment within that case.
Okay.
So it's not a matter of me saying, okay, I got to put in, you know, 8 hours this week reading the law. Mm-hmm. That is a good thing for me to do, to stay abreast, and we get the updates and all that kind of stuff. And that's my responsibility. But from case to case, when Paul Billings files a case on behalf of his client, he's going to educate me about the case he's filing through his pleadings, through the briefs that they will file, all of that kind of stuff. He's going to tell me what the law should say. And then he's going to put his interpretation as to why that law should favor his client.
Okay.
You know. And the cool thing about being a judge is that when you don't know, one of the first steps is to have the lawyers brief the issue for you so that you can get a feel for where it is. And then you follow up with your own reading and research yourself.
What if the lawyer lies about the law to you in court?
Ooh, that's not a good thing.
That's not a good thing.
That is not a good thing.
Oh, wow.
Both professionally and reputationally.
Hmm.
You know, one of the things about practicing law is that often you're going to be seeing the same judges, and you're going to be, especially if you get into an area where you kind of specialize in it, you're going to be seeing the same lawyers.
Okay.
And the last thing a lawyer wants is a reputation as not being able to live up to his word.
Hmm.
You know, then people don't trust you. And the process of litigating and resolving a case and doing the best you can for your client becomes exponentially more difficult because nobody trusts you. You lie to another lawyer, that judge is going to get the sense that now those things that I could, you know, for the most part, maybe accept as fact or accept and not have you jump every hoop. I can't do that anymore because you're playing fast and loose with this thing.
Wow.
So that's the last place a lawyer wants to be known as somebody whose word is not of value.
You think there are lawyers like that in Muskegon that got that reputation?
I think that there are lawyers like that everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes, sure.
Wow.
You know, lawyers, just like every other facet of life, run the gamut from those with incredibly impeccable integrity to those who will have questionable ethical meter.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We'll take some phone calls and go to the phone line. Caller, you got a question for Honorable Judge Pittman?
I do. I want to know what is the legal, legal responsibility of a parent or their right as a parent when they when they're supposed to pay child support but they don't. What are their parental rights? Do they have any or are their rights taken away from them if they're not living up to their obligations?
Okay. Let me say it this way. The right of a parent to have contact or relationship with their child is not tied to the level of their payment of child support if they're ordered to pay child support. One is not tied to the other.
That's it then.
That's it. That's it.
Any other questions, Carla?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Uh-huh. That's a popular question.
Sure it is.
Because
absolutely.
Because you would think that it might be tied in, but it's not.
Intuitively, you would kind of think that if you're not taking care of your legitimate financial responsibility,
right,
then there should be a commensurate penalty. Penalizing that person from their being able to enjoy the benefits of having that child, which is usually through their contact, through that parenting time. But the law is very specific about the idea that parenting time is not contingent upon or dependent upon the level of compliance with a child support obligation. But, you know, the reality of it, the practical side of it is that people who have a child support obligation who are not, you know, following through usually don't, quite often don't follow through with demanding their parenting time. Mm-hmm. So they're afraid to come around.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yep. Right. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Excellent question.
231-722-8338. A person on Facebook asked Judge, is there a way of overturning adoption?
Yes. The short answer is that an adoption can be rescinded. Yes. It's a complicated, long, difficult.
Really?
Process.
There got to be some neglect there or something?
Well, I won't limit it to the idea that there's neglect there, but there has to be substantial cause to undo an adoption.
What the kids say, I don't want them to be my parents. They're not my real parents. I don't want to stay here. They lied to me.
Well, if the only reason I don't answer that mm-hmm. readily is because there's not a lot involved where there are representations made by a parent to an adoptive child where the issue of fraud would come up. And I think fraud could be, you know, mm-hmm. would be a pretty substantial ground for consideration for rescinding an adoption. But, you know, if they're saying he promised me an Xbox and all I got was this GameCube.
I'm naming a situation where I know people who thought their biological parents were, you know, they thought they were staying with their biological parents because they were told that. They got to be a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And they had to sit down conversation.
Uh-huh.
They find out that the people they thought were their biological parents are their adopted parents.
Uh-huh.
Feel betrayed.
Yeah. That won't,
become
that won't do it.
That won't do it.
No, okay. No. In my estimation, that would not be grounds.
Right. Yeah. Hope
that's a terrible thing to do, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not here to tell anybody how to handle that, but that's important stuff, you know.
231-722-8338. I'm going to go to this video. It's only about 2 minutes, Judge, from Walter E. Williams, mm-hmm. who is a conservative blogger, mm-hmm. writer,
mm-hmm.
pretty popular.
Black man.
Yep, black man.
Okay.
And he got what he said is the cure for poverty. and give me your opinion on this, if you don't mind.
All right.
Be successful in this world, what do you have to do? Well, you have to find ways to please your fellow man. You have to find what your fellow man wants that he does not have. And after you find out what he wants that he does not have and is willing to pay for, then acquire the necessary skills, education, and talents to provide it. And whether people care about one another or not, I think is largely irrelevant. So, as a matter of fact, I think that, and the cure for poverty, here's the cure for poverty. There are about four things you need to do. Almost, and it's almost a written guarantee that you will not be poor. One, graduate from high school. Two, don't have children until you're married. Three, stay married. Take any kind of job and stay out of jail. Now, matter of fact, according to the census, people who have that characteristic, only 8% of them are poor, as opposed to, let's say, among blacks, 8% of blacks are poor, as opposed to something like 25-26% of total poverty among blacks as a whole. And so it's almost a no-brainer not to be poor. That is, find ways to please your fellow man, and you won't be poor.
Okay, Judge.
All right.
What do you think about that?
Ooh. You know.
loaded question.
Yeah, you know, I don't think in and of itself those points that he hit were by any stretch wrong. I think that's tremendous advice. Excellent advice. Yeah, I would think. I just get worried when it concerns me when people try to make simple solutions to complicated issues. Mm-hmm. Poverty is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are certainly simple steps that will help people and take people a great way down the road towards alleviating the possibility, the potential for being poor. But to say, if you do these four things, you will not be poor, or you will not deal with issues of poverty. And even the debt, what are you defining as poverty? Mm-hmm. What is this poverty that you speak of that you are able to avoid if you do these four things?
Mm-hmm.
That's so simple-minded. And I'm not calling him simple-minded.
Right.
It makes simple some things that clearly people who are in poverty, they don't have control over their every circumstance that helps contribute to the proliferation of that poverty. Mm. And that approach seems to say that your being in poverty is attributable only to you.
Mm-hmm.
It is attributable only to the actions that you have taken. And I would dare say that there are people who are in poverty, who are struggling every day, who would say, there's some things that are going on that I cannot control that are helping me to be in the position that I'm in, because I don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are some people who are disposed to the idea that I don't need very much, and I'm okay right here. But there's so many more people who are living at poverty levels who are there and they're not, and they're there because in addition to whatever else, there's some things that are outside of their control that are just bedeviling them to that point. So I think when people start talking in absolutes like that, that's not the end all in my mind. But those are, I think those are excellent suggestions. You know, get educated, you know, and complete that basic education. Delay having children. You know, once you have a child, you know, especially young folks, who anybody who might be listening, waiting for QA9 to come on, you know, if you have a child early in your life, it is not, in my mind, it's not going to lead to poverty, but it certainly makes it exponentially more difficult to gain the foothold that it takes to be able to withstand some of those things that are going to occur outside of your control that keep you out of poverty.
Right.
You know, getting married, I think there's value in people marrying and that being a institution that helps them to have stability, that keeps them from making decisions about money and finance and situations, because now you become responsible for others and you want to do better and that kind of thing. I think that's a good idea. I don't think becoming married is magically going to save you from poverty. There's a whole lot of married folks walking around here who, you know, who would want to be doing better.
Right.
I definitely agree that once you do marry, it helps to stay
married.
You know, what is it? It's cheaper to keep her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, there is a significant, incredibly significant financial hit that people take when they divorce.
Right.
You know, you just can't help it. You're going from being an entity that has a certain amount of property and resource to now having to divide that in some proportion, maybe half and half, maybe disproportionately.
Disproportionately?
Yeah, absolutely.
60-40?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, my goodness.
Certainly. Certainly. Absolutely.
I know you probably get it when you do those rulings.
Well, you know, they aren't as common as people might think. You know, the law presumes that a dissolution of marriage should be done from the proposition of people splitting those marital assets on a 50-50 basis.
Okay.
There are factors that are then considered in making the determination of whether or not there should be a disproportionate split. You know, adultery is a big one.
Okay.
You know, you're getting out of a marriage and you've had an affair, and that has that's part of the basis for the dissolution of the marriage. You're going to pay.
Going to pay alimony.
Yeah. Well, alimony is not a disproportionate.
Okay.
That's not considered part of what would be a disproportionate property distribution or marital asset distribution. Alimony is based upon years of marriage, based upon quality of life and lifestyle that persons have been involved in, the disparity in earning ability and resources, and need. Okay. Those are kind of like four basic premises upon which an award of alimony would be determined.
Wow. 231-722-833. Got a question for Honorable Judge Pittman. Here's a news story. Child Protective Service could face stricter guidelines when removing kids from
parents.
Yes,
I printed out the language to bring with me, and of course my 51-year-old brain is sitting right there on my desk ready to go. Yeah, that's huge.
Okay.
That comes as a result of, you remember the case in Detroit where the guy was at the baseball game, he and his son were at Comerica Park, mm-hmm. Tiger game. And his son asked for something. They were in line, and his son wanted something to drink. Mm-hmm. And he bought his son a Mike's Hard lemonade.
Lemonade, okay.
And a police officer happened to be in the vicinity and saw this kid standing here consuming or about to consume mm-hmm. this actually alcoholic beverage. Mm-hmm. And from that, the child was immediately removed from the father. They took him literally from him at Comerica Park.
Okay.
And placed him into protective care through foster care mm-hmm. For about 3 days while they investigated and made whatever determinations they needed to make regarding whether or not this was an actual violation of protection of this child. That's big.
Right. Right.
And out of that now, there's legislation that has been proposed that makes it more difficult for law enforcement to remove children from parents in situations where child abuse or neglect is suspected.
Hmm. Okay. Let me take a break, come back. Judge, can we talk about corporate punishment? We haven't talked about that in a while.
Corporal punishment?
Yeah.
Sure. Guess we can.
Okay. That's been a hot topic. People like scared to whoop the kids. So, oh, use the term. It's another term, corporate punishment. I'm going to use the term
corporal punishment.
Because whipping is a, if you say whipping.
It has a negative connotation.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's all the same thing. You're getting them legs.
Right.
You know.
So I'm going to talk about that because there are 19 states, even Indiana, where the schools are still allowed to do corporate punishment.
Mm, okay.
So I just want to get your opinion on that and maybe paint a picture. What is acceptable? Mm-hmm. What is not acceptable?
Mm. All right. We're gonna tread light here.
Okay.
I promise you.
Real light.
We're going to tread light here.
Be right back. Donald with Judge Pittman's show. All brought to you by Grand Valley State University.
Right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat.
The West Michigan Community Health Network and West Michigan Therapy present the 2012 Thurgood Marshall Job Fair with 500 job openings Tuesday, May 1st, 2012 from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Bishop William L. Burrell Multiplex Center at 412 East Sherman Boulevard, Muskegon Heights, Michigan. This event is free to all job seekers. Everyone is welcome. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Don't miss the 2012 Thurgood Marshall Job Fair, sponsored by WUVS 103.7 The Beat, Alcoa Helmet, Michigan Works, Muskegon Oceana, United Way of Lakeshore, and Muskegon Oceana Community Action Partners.
This hour of WUVSLP is brought to you by the Classy Men of Michigan, the 411 Bistro, and Crystal Promotions. Yes. Presenting An Evening with Joe.
Hey, what's up, West Michigan? This is Joe. I will be performing live in concert Saturday, May 12th for the Stop the Violence movement in downtown Muskegon at the Frontal Center of Performing Arts. And happy early Mother's Day.
Saturday, May 12th, 2012 at the Fronthaw Center, 425 West Western Avenue, downtown Muskegon. Red carpet appearance and paparazzi at 7 p.m. Doors open at 8 and the first act at 8:30. Tickets available at the 411 Bistro Lounge, Urban Apparel, Haddam, Fancy Yancy's Barbershop, and All-Star Ticket Plus locations. This is a Stop the Violence movement. The Classy Men of Michigan, the 411 Bistro, and Crystal Promotions are proud supporters of 103.7 The Beat. Media sponsor, 103.7 The Beat.
When you're expecting a child, there's nothing more important than your health and the health of your baby. Hi, this is Bethany Brown, a certified nurse midwife with Muskegon Family Care. Our all-female obstetric team of certified nurse midwives and physician invite you to a wonderful way to welcome your new baby to this world. Why is Muskegon Family Care such an ideal place to prepare for this amazing new life? A baby that receives outstanding prenatal care is less likely to have frequent illness and will enjoy better overall health. We accept Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. We even provide transportation when you need it. Why Muskegon Family Care? Because we care enough to ensure that nothing comes between your baby and a great start to life. Visit us at Muskegon Family Care, 2201 South Getty in Muskegon. Call us for an appointment at 777-2093. That's 777-2093. To learn more, visit us at www.mfc-health.org. With open doors and open arms, it's Muskegon Family Care.
Call 722-8338 right now to ask the judge a question. It's the Judge Show on 103.7 The Beat. It's the Judge Show with Judge Pittman. Judge Pittman on WUVS 103.7 The Beat.
Welcome back to the Honorable Judge Pittman Radio Show, brought to you by Grand Valley State University. Go online at www.gvsu.edu. Grand Valley State University, proud supporter of the Honorable Judge Pittman Radio Show here, right here on 103.7 The Beat. Judge, we got a caller.
Okay.
Caller, you're live on the Judge Show. You got a question for the judge?
Good afternoon, Judge Pittman. Honorable Judge Pittman.
Good afternoon.
The question that I have, good afternoon, is that if a parent is well over $10,000 paid over in child support, is that parent able to recoup that money, or do that parent have to wait until that child is legally of age?
You're saying if there's an overpayment of that magnitude. Wow, that's a good question. You know, I don't want to be facetious about it, but kind of when it goes in, it's hard to get it back out, you know. one of the remedies that is available, well, let me ask you this, is the child still under 18?
Yeah.
One of the remedies that I employ when there is an overpayment is to reduce or in certain cases cease further payment of support and allow that overpayment to serve as a credit until, you know, it catches up and then resume.
Okay.
You know, not always completely stopping it, because even though there's an overpayment, there still might be that need for continue, you know, consistent monies coming in, but maybe reduce it, you know, greatly and apply the other tours of credit and get things caught back up the other way. You know?
Okay, because what I was thinking was that once the child legally reaches the age to where the parent can actually go for the money, that the parent actually go for the other parent.
Well, you know, I guess that could be a way to approach it, but that becomes some probably fairly costly and lengthy litigation, as opposed to if there's still an ongoing support obligation, just slow the child support up until that overpayment is caught up. You know, you catch up with that overpayment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Good question. You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye-bye.
I'll take care. 231-722-8338. We got a question for the judge. We got about 10 minutes left in the show.
It's hard to get that money back, man.
It is, ain't it? Because they get it from you, though. They get it from you.
They get it. It's hard to get it. Want to get it back.
They already got a budget, huh?
Oh, man.
Because it went to the other parent, presumably.
Yeah, sure.
So really you're going to be trying to get recouped from the other parent.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the state has no responsibility for any repayment, even if it was a mistake of the state.
Wow.
You know.
That's a lot of money.
Well, man, that would be a tremendous amount of money to have banked up. But, you know, I would make every effort to say, look, you know, I'm paying $500 a month, let's knock that down to 100 a month and let this thing get caught up, you know.
Right.
Or some amount, you
That's
know.
That's a lot of money for child support, Judge. You just said.
What's that?
$500 a month.
Oh, shoot. Man, I got some people paying $1,200-$1,500 a month.
My goodness.
I mean, but
they must got a bunch of kids.
But they're making that kind of money.
They're making that kind of money.
Yeah.
That's so they wow.
I have That's one case I won't mention it. I have a case Cat is paid,
mm-hmm.
well paid, and he doesn't even pay a monthly amount. He pays a percentage quarterly that they've agreed on that he would pay. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice chunk of change.
He just throw his all in one. He get us every quarterly. She get cashed out.
She get cashed out. I'm like, man, could I just have what you pay in support?
Right. Don't have to work. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Question about corporate punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Have you dealt with any cases recently where a parent was whooping their kids and you ruled that it was abuse?
Yeah, sure. We get a lot of that. We get a lot of overindulgence in punishing children. Yeah.
What is the line?
Don't know.
Don't know. It's all judgmental.
It's pretty much judgment.
Okay.
And I would say this, the line is, it's not far. I would say that. I would say that anybody who's considering corporal punishment for their child should be very, very careful and very controlled about what it is that they do. You know, the law does not prohibit corporal punishment, but it does not allow a lot of leeway in the exercise of that corporal punishment.
Well, using a belt, is that beyond using a belt on the buttocks?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that would be considered corporal punishment, and corporal punishment is not prohibited.
Okay, well.
Yeah, but you can go far. You know, I would caution and I would admonish and I would advise anybody that if you are considering corporal punishment for your child, that you be incredibly circumspect, you be incredibly controlled, under control, and stay within limits. I would tell anybody that.
Right. Don't be upset when you and this abuse, I guess.
Yeah.
That thin line.
Because, you know, the idea that it becomes abusive, part of the idea is that it's because you're out of control and you're angry.
Mm-hmm.
And your corporal punishment instead becomes abusive. You're abusing. You're taking your anger out in that manner. And that won't ever be acceptable.
Right.
That won't ever be acceptable. You know, one of the things I would say, practically speaking, and I'm not here as a proponent of corporal punishment by any stretch. One of the things I would say is that if you are inclined towards the utilization of corporal punishment, you better have a relationship with that child such that that child can understand and appreciate the corrective nature, I would say, of that corporal punishment that you institute.
Makes sense.
You know, one of the problems, it's abusive if you just beating on me and we don't have any relationship.
Right. Well, out of anger.
Yeah.
Out of anger. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know you. I don't know you like that. You just beating on me, man. You know? So I accept that as you not being a parent who is exercising his prerogative to chastise. I look at this as you some dude who mad at me and you taking it out on me. So then it becomes an issue of this child feels like they need to tell somebody, you know, they need to make sure you don't do this to them again, you know, because I don't understand why you doing this to me like this now, because you and I don't have that kind of relationship.
Right.
You know, I don't like you like that. You know, and think about it, PA. Okay, you know, let's keep it real. You and I grew up in an era where, you know, clearly your parents were going to get it in. They were going to get it in, and we went to schools where they could get it in.
Right.
But think about those people who perpetrated those acts. You knew where they were coming from.
You knew they cared. You knew they loved you.
You knew, and even if you knew it, they still at some point somewhere along the line spent a minute or two talking to you about what happened to you or why this is happening to you. It might have been in the midst of it, you know.
Mr. Davis. I mean, Mr. Davis in middle school.
Yes, sir.
He talked to you first.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you did this right here.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't do this right here. And I need you to bend over this table here.
And you got it. Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, the last thing I wanted to hear was my mom walk in. You know, after you got a whooping, then you had to go to sleep, right?
Right.
You know, you had to go sit down or lay down or whatever. And
right.
Last thing I wanted to see was you walking in the room, explain it. But
they did.
That's exactly what should have happened.
Right.
You know, if you're going to take this kind of extreme action out with me, then, you know, it's a good thing that you explained to me where you're coming from on this.
Have you seen a lot of abuse cases in which it went too far?
Oh yeah, I've seen enough of them. Yeah, yeah, and I've had two or three that I thought did not cross the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did not feel that they were being abusive.
There seems to be a culture difference between how. I can't generalize everybody, but how African Americans discipline their child compared to maybe how whites or Hispanics might discipline. There seems to be a judgment from outside the community ruling on what goes on inside the community.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would agree with you. And, you know, the great difficulty is that we are a melting pot type country.
Right.
And we have to try to develop laws that fit all
everybody,
and there is certainly in 2012 more of an appreciation for the cultural differences in some of the things that occur that are prescribed by law, and it should be, but by the same token, there is still the responsibility of government to try and to try and draw in all people to some basic standards of what is and is not acceptable behavior.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for answering that. That is
that's a tough one. That's a tough one because somebody's going to leave here and say, hey, Georgia, you can do, you know. No, I am not endorsing for anybody the idea that corporal punishment. It is a right, or at least it is not prohibited, that you cannot engage in corporal punishment. I am endorsing the idea that if you do, and you make the decision of your own volition, of your own will, you better know what you're doing.
Right. Who generally blows the whistle on this thing? Is it school systems?
More often than not, it is a third party.
Third party.
You know, some third party, whether it's a school, a teacher who's noticed, or a student has confided in, or someone who sees this act actually occurring. You remember, man, you know, we're going in this store, don't touch nothing, don't ask for nothing, you ain't getting nothing. And if you clown with me, I'm going to clown with you. You know,
right.
In the old days. Well, right. You know, there are people who still prescribe to that, and they reach out and they lash out and they hit a child, and there are people in there who saying, that ain't going to happen in front of me.
They call.
And they pick up the phone and they make that call.
And the police will come out.
Yeah, or protective services. You know, they may bypass the police and go directly to protective services, which is protective services allows for the anonymous phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to identify yourself at all, you know.
Judge, do you feel it's abuse for a parent to allow maybe their boyfriend to do things to their kids and allow it to go on? Is that considered abuse? What is that, neglect? Sexual abuse.
Absolutely.
Where you don't believe the kid.
Absolutely. There's a category of abuse and neglect matters that's called failure to protect.
Failure to protect. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a crime?
The failure to protect in and of itself is not, I don't think, a criminal statute. But it is certainly grounds for the removal and ultimately the termination of parental rights.
Here's the thing. I know personally mm-hmm. quite a few people mm-hmm. who were victimized as a kid, mm-hmm. went to their mother for help,
mm-hmm.
and the mom sided with the boyfriend mm-hmm. or the stepfather
yep.
in the name of love.
Yep.
The kid grows up.
Or fear.
Mm-hmm. Grows up. Have all kind of side effects because of what went on.
Yep.
And definitely no respect for the parent.
Yeah. Well, that is psychologically, that is a tremendous betrayal.
Right.
This guy or this woman is, you know, for all intents and purposes, a bit of an outsider to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to have my back, and you're supposed to protect me. And you're supposed to be concerned about my condition. And then when I tell you that this is occurring, instead of at least following through and trying to get to the bottom of it and make a good judgment about whether this does or does not occur, right out of hand, you just say, I don't believe it, or I'm not buying that, or I ain't doing nothing about it. What a betrayal. The person who is most responsible for your condition and your protection has chosen to completely ignore at least the accusation that you're being mistreated at the hand of a third party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll mess some folks up.
Yeah. It happens.
Yep.
More too often.
Way too often. Way too often. And I have terminated parental rights of a parent who hasn't put a hand on the child,
mm-hmm.
who has allowed and continued to allow that child to be abused by a third party.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Didn't protect them.
Mm-mm. I'll pull that trigger.
Wow. Yep. Okay. Serious. What do you, if this is going on, some kids listen to us right now.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to that child?
I would say that just about every child has somebody in their life that they feel comfortable talking with, a coach, a teacher, somebody at church, a relative, a friend. Mm-hmm. Share it. Tell them. Tell them what's going on and how you feel that you're being betrayed or that you're being hurt, and leave it to the adults to figure the rest of it out. But tell it.
And don't blame yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You've done absolutely nothing to deserve that kind of negative attention.
Yep. All right, Judge. Thank you so much. Sir. We appreciate this.
Yes, sir. No excuse, sir.
No excuse. Excellent. Yeah, this is from Muskegon Heights Boxing Club. I'm representing him today.
Yeah.
And that is his motto with the kids up there. Yep. No excuse, sir.
Yeah, that's good.
Excellence mandatory. Actually, he took a couple of kids to West Point Academy.
Good.
For training this week.
Good.
Yeah, they represented Muskegon down there, Muskegon Heights Boxing Club, for the STEM program.
Great. Great. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, doing a great job over there.
Thank you, PA.
Thank you, Judge. You put out a lot of information today.
Well, we had a good talk, I thought.
Yeah. And folks, if you want to hear the show, we're going to make sure we put it up online tonight. All right. You can go online and if you want to hear the show.
I ain't on Facebook, though.
Judge, come on, Judge. One day. Judge.
Not nary am day.
You, Keith Guy, Frank Fadal, a few other high-profile folks don't want to mess with it.
Don't want no parts. Mr. Facebook.
Mr. Book.
Right.
All right, Judge.
All right, brother.
Yeah, take care.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you too, sir.
It's the Judge Show with Judge Pittman. Judge Pittman on WUVS 103.7 The Beat. Broadcasting live from the Mason Wright Media Center. WUVSL.